しろ、ごいんとさい、ばわるたまってりゃくさりな、ごいんとさい、のまんとかごいんちゃさいば、サンフランシスシャーベラ、ロクマクタタレガンディダータ、ごいんちゃくら、ごいんともがでこないろ、ごいんちゃちゃら、Devan tu kabulla, deryani sabar, wa kanta tu ka, sablo sansar, maya shilo kieta, osaranche osar, wainkarang mogan tolong sai badi tu zoada.Muito patrão, muito sai, muito racno, muito sai, pires tanto ala giro, muito sai, pavar tal martele a sanina, muito sai.एक मिलाग्र जाली माइन पाइन आपले दुवेक गोईंचा साहिबाशी वेली पांत वर्सांची जालेली उन्ती तोलो नासली बावाड तान माक तो ताइकात वोल्ली मिलाग्र जाली माइन पाइन चेडवा गोरोन गाडियेन बोसोईले गारा पाव तो तुबारूनTaka vitor vele, mai maka so kol de oe, chidwan mule, so kol taka de oe, tos payani solon klagle. Goin so patron, goin so sai, goin so rakno, goin so sai, piresta so alashiro.Milagrinzo chivor, porém tu ego de osan, asa tu capaor. Azul tole guencar, saiba no coto do valor. Saiba tu zaunasa, guencaranto sanga. Guenta sa curto de Roma charano zoat. Tu zaunasa, amti, usuara.Muito mogo mungonha e loi passar por um som de ilsa Muito patrão
Welcome Sushigat Welcome Swagatam to Sushigat Dhanpar Aicha programmer Tumcho Somcho Soglancho Swagat Asa Amcha Sangata Asa Father Raphael Hello Father
Hello Baptist
Paul Kaso hai tu?
I'm Bora ha
And amcha sadancho Hector.
Hi, hi. Hello, everyone.
And amcha sangata asa tarnato so Bob, Shane. Tu kaso asa Shane?
Ah, bozo asa.
This Sushigat Dhanpar program is brought to you by Good Guys on 104.6 Planet FM, bringing communities together. Shane, I hear or understand that you have got some burning question about spirituality.And you are all raring to go. The floor is yours, Shane.
Thanks, Baptist. Well, today I'm joined by one of Auckland's most handsome bachelors. However, ladies, he's not on the market because he's chosen a different life path. So, Father Rafael, welcome. It's an honor to have you in the studio with me. You know, I've known you from the time I was a little boy running around, and now I think as men we're here and we can have a conversation about something that's quite topical these days, you know, within our Goan Minglorian cultures of the Konkani-speaking world about faith, religion, and the family. And it's a great honor to have you with me over here to actually shed some light from a source of wisdom on a lot of issues that are facing our families, that are facing our youth among the Catholic community and among the Konkani-speaking community. So, Father, it's nice to have you here. I'm also joined by Uncle Paul. It's good to have you here as well, you know, a family man, someone who's grown up in Goa and has been on that Catholic journey from a young age over here. And I think before we start, we're going to do a quick recap about what this program is all about, and it's about culture. And what better person than Uncle Paul to teach us a bit about the Goan language? And we're going to do it from a perspective of faith today. So I think what we're going to, Father and Paul are going to teach us a simple little prayer that every Catholic household has always said, which is how to do the sign of the cross. But we're going to do it in Konkani today. So, Paul, the mic's yours.
Babache, Aniputache, Anipovitra Otmeche Navi, Amen. So that was the sign of the cross.
And for all of those of you who are still trying to figure that out, yeah, it was in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's your little Konkani language lesson for today. Tonight when you go to church, or when you go to church tomorrow morning, when the priest says, let's make the sign of the cross, you can say it in Konkani now. So, Father Rafael, we're here to, before we get onto the more serious stuff, let's talk a bit about you, about your tastes and what you're into. So I've got a few quick fire questions for you. You know, let's bring it down to the basic root of every Konkani gathering. What is your favorite Konkani Goan dish?
A Goan dish? Oh, when I was young, definitely sorpotel.
Yes, you can't be. And it was a mum sorpotel or grandma sorpotel?
Oh, mum sorpotel.
Mum sorpotel, yeah. So when it comes to, I think when it comes to Indian food, mum's food can't be. I know my favorite's my mum's biryani. Mum, you haven't made it in a long time, and I know you're listening. Yeah. So hopefully sometime soon this week, there'll be biryani at home. What else? When you were a young kid, you know, all those years back, not so long ago, still a young, handsome kid.
Many moons back.
Yeah. What was your dream job? Was becoming a priest always on the cards, or was there something else you wanted to be?
When I was young, I saw my cousin who had gone to Don Bosco's.
Okay.
And I liked the music that they had at that place when I was taken there to visit him. And it attracted me, and that's how I went over to Don Bosco's. I asked my parents to move me from Anza High School in Baikala.
Yeah.
I moved to Don Bosco, Lanavla.
So you, and then you became a Don Bosco boy. Were you boarding there as well?
I was boarding, yeah.
Yeah, so I know a lot of my friends, we all have a lot of dads who were boarders, and we've heard a lot of quite crazy stories. So why don't you share with us today your boarding stories? How were your days at Don Bosco?
Oh, it was great fun. I loved the games and the music that they had, and the many picnics. And Lanavla was a place where a lot of rains during the monsoons, and going up on the hills, walking there, catching crabs, and during the monsoons was one of our fun things to do.
I know you just did mention about the picnics, and I know when I go to my own dad's stories, there was a lot of, as boys were, there was a lot of shenanigans that happened on picnics. Do you have any memorable stories, any prank stories that you remember from your days at the Don Bosco picnics?
Oh yeah, I remember very vividly having a fall.
Okay.
There was a Tiger's Valley or something like that way there.
Yeah.
And I slipped due to it was the monsoon, and I had a tremendous fall, and I didn't break any bones, but I remember that was a very memorable one. I still have a scar of that fall.
Still, yeah, you still remember not to do it again.
It's on my elbow, yes.
Yeah. And I think, Father, is it fair to say that when it came to your own spiritual growth and your own introduction with God, it started a lot with Don Bosco?
Yeah, Don Bosco.
Yeah.
That's where it started, absolutely.
Yeah, and I do understand back in your boarding days, there were a lot of programs that cultivated that faith. And what was the things that attracted you to faith?
Oh, the things that attracted me to Don Bosco was his message of You cannot be a holy person if you're not a happy person. You have to be a happy person. Sanctity consists in being cheerful. So you cannot be a sad person, cannot be a holy person. That was his motto.
It's such a beautiful motto, and it's something so easy to follow as well, I think, you know? Yeah, and, you know, building upon that, I think in a lot of our faith journeys, a big part of it has been the family as well.
Mm-hmm.
And how did your family influence your faith journey?
Like all families, and I'm sure Paul will say the same, all families, faith is a very important aspect of our families. Every family will have what's called the Aimori.
Yeah, abhi ayan sadant amori kottalu 7 vasta sangechi ikkade bayara lele amka davane unchi pottale mera kode to say that amori.
What is amori?
Amori is
the Hail Mary,
the Holy Rosary, actually.
Rosary.
No, just the
prayer.
Hail Mary is used to say, and the small prayer.
Okay. Right. Okay. So that was done every evening.
We were supposed to say it more early morning, afternoon, and evening.
Okay.
Wow.
But evening was very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that brought people together to the dinner table also, right?
Yeah.
It was family which plays together, stays together yeah. is the kind of message it was giving.
Mm-hmm. And I think, nowadays as well, a lot of our Catholic families, it's still something that I know I personally and stuff, we're being brought up to, you know, every day around 7 o'clock, 7:30, we say the rosary together as a family and then we proceed to have dinner together. And I think it's those humble roots that the family does cultivate the faith. And, you know, what we were talking about earlier about how your family plays such a solid role, and even if it's just coming together to say that rosary in the evening, and that's how it kind of grows.
It shows a deeper connection.
Yeah.
You're not just with things, but you're something inside of you that's there.
Yeah, and I know me personally, when we say the rosary at home, it's, even though, you know, I'll admit sometimes you're half sleeping and stuff, it's a time to reflect and just think about the day that's been. I know sometimes Dad says, say the Hail Mary, and I'm dozing off thinking about what happened. But at the same time, it's a time to come together and actually reflect on your day, you know, a little moment of silence to be with your family. And I know as we grow up as kids and stuff, we're working and our timetables clash and stuff. But as far as possible, we still try to have that small time that we do get to spend with the family. So I think now what we're going to do is we're going to play another upbeat Goan song. After the break, we're going to talk to Father about his own vocation and about his journey as a priest.
Songsaran sogle pati o itr konna toru dusriya chutu ki kaatau jindi na taana char paya so goro sukda sugod sana tor munis suklyar taka kityak bokshina bono chuki ke sapdo tor taka pota da kuitau eka kityar korona manwaryaru boitau sukleliya bok sugsai ami chubod sos motau jesun maria magdalena kokshi leli vi sotau Padrin kobor ek sang leli gorib shet kamti aslo ek du asleli ti jesu cha mogan dai tis bolleli chukle lyang bukshi mon zoiti vont zaleli chedwa gaun so ek chedo wife no drin poetalo ek dis chedwa ko Nen ata kelo aspuri zautna suri to pun jiu kadlo deu to ka bok sumuno chedwan suska todlo
देव तुका बोक्सो मुटले मोसाणा ताणे क्रिमी दोर जावन ताका दिले बोक्सोणे मोत्तोच तेडवाक फावो जाले सोर्गीचे देणे आयज ते चेडू सांत जाले आयकोन जाया शाणे तेच ते चेडू सांत मारिया गोरेटी कोरी को बोरी बोडून सांगोंक ना फोटी चुकलेल्यांक बोगशी फुलोन भोवना काय शादी मोत्तोच देवाक आमी दिवची पोट्टेली जोडटी
So that was Bogshem, a beautiful song about forgiveness. And it was, I know, it was quite a funky song. I think we're all having a boogie in the studio right now. But before the break, I was talking to Father Rafael about his own spiritual journey as a young boy and when he joined Don Bosco. And now, Father, I want to move on. I want to talk to you about what compelled a young Rafael to move on and take those steps towards joining the priesthood, you know, and your vocation story, so to speak.
Well, it's 35 years now since I've been a priest. And in this time, I've spent most of my time, spiritually life has been with street kids.
Okay.
In the city of Bombay.
Yeah.
So that's what attracted me about Don Bosco. As being a Salesian, we had to teach in schools. So I did teach. I was 2 years in Matunga, 2 years in Lonavala. These are two hill stations and good schools. And then I thought of, at that time, Salaam Bombay was a movie that came out in Bombay City.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we said, we have to do something for the kids of Bombay. There were the Jesuits who were looking after, they had Sneha Sadan.
Yeah.
So we said, the Salesians have to do something. We have gone far from the founders' goal and mission.
Exactly, yeah.
So we went on to the streets, Elson Barreto and myself, two of us, and we started working on the streets. That's when the society said we might give them some good training also. Yeah, yeah. So we were sent to do our social work training. We finished that and then we started Shelter Don Bosco, which still continues today.
Yeah, I had the... I think in 2007, when we went to India, I had the pleasure of visiting over there with my parents.
So that's what we initiated in 1985.
Yeah. Wow. And it's still going strong.
Still going strong. I did work there for 10 years and then moved on to Goa to work for 3 years.
Yeah.
With Childline in Goa.
Okay.
So that has been most of my involvement as a priest.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when it comes to youth nowadays as well, a lot of us, that's what attracts us as well. It keeps us going is the doing things and doing it in line with what Jesus did, which was
doing for others.
Exactly. Yeah. Just I want to rewind a bit, but when you know, you did say there was a lot, you worked with a lot of street kids and stuff, but was there a moment for you amongst that where you had maybe an epiphany, so to speak, or you felt like a voice calling you to say, I want you to be a priest? You know, was there did you have that moment, or was it more gradually it happened?
God always speaks, the language God speaks is silence.
Yeah.
So God does not speak to you vocally.
Yeah.
So he did, whenever you do a particular work, you feel your happiness comes there. So I followed my happiness.
And
my happiness was not in teaching in schools.
Yeah.
But it was being on the street teaching these kids. And I do remember a thing where I asked a boy, who is God for you? He's a street boy lying on the street. And I asked him, who is God for you? And he was a Muslim boy, I remember. His name was Akbar. And he said to me, God is the one who wakes me up hungry, but never puts me to sleep hungry. For him, God was food.
Wow. That was profound.
So he wouldn't put a name to it. And I'm sure Paul will say that the song we started today was a man who gave us inspiration, the first song that you played today.
Yeah.
You remember it was about Goenso Saib.
Saib in San Francisco Xavier.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He's our inspiration.
Yeah. And that's kind of what took you. And it's quite, it's quite a nice story, Father. Moving on, I just want to say, you know, you did all that in Bombay. You worked a lot with the kids and stuff. And then I believe around 2002, you made the decision to broaden your horizons and come to New Zealand. for those of you out there, Father Rafael was the first Indian priest in New Zealand. And it's quite a bold step, you know, when you're, at the time, the Salesians weren't an established congregation in New Zealand. What made you come to New Zealand? What was the driving forces behind that decision?
Of course, I had a sister living in New Zealand, so I came to visit her and also asked Bishop if I could work for a year in Auckland, in his diocese. Yeah. And he very welcomed, he welcomed me to come over to work in his diocese. Yeah. I started off at St. Joseph's with Father David Nolan. And it was a very happy year, at the end of which I returned to my province of Bombay.
Yeah.
And then Father David Nolan asked me if I would come back to help him and be here with him. He did write to my provincial, and I was keen on coming back too.
Yeah.
I fell in love with New Zealand, and I asked my province if we could start a presence here in New Zealand. And at that moment, they were not very willing at that time. Because you normally move as a community, you don't move as an individual.
Yeah, exactly, yes.
So I came back and I worked for another 3 years. At that time, Father David Nolan got cancer, and he passed away that year.
Yeah.
And that's the time when Bishop Pat incarnated me into his diocese.
Okay.
Wow.
And I'm still happy to be here.
In which parish was that for?
St. Joseph's.
St. Joseph's.
Takapuna.
Yeah, I remember back in the day when
that's where I met Paul.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I came to see you also with one of my priests from India, Father Kaji, Kajitan Menezes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I remember
that. That was many, many years
many
ago.
Many years back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember those, you know, as you said, when we were talking, the Salesians back then weren't established. It was the old boys who made it happen. I remember those
Absolutely. Early
young days, because it was for me, and I remember one of my good friends, it was a very exciting time because we used to get to do road trips across the harbor bridge to come and visit you.
Yeah.
And then they started off with the 31st of
Don Bosco's
Jan,
feast day.
We used
together.
To have it was the mass, and then we had the big celebrations in Takapuna and stuff. And, you know, it's beautiful to see how the Salesians as a congregation as well have grown in New Zealand. You know, we've got Father Matthew and Father James who are doing some great work in Avondale. We've got Father Aleki and Massey. Yeah. And, I mean, I'm proud to announce that as we speak, today is the first ever Kiwi Bosco youth camp is happening out in Massey. And that's all a trademark to the Salesians. You know, I was fortunate two years back to go to the Oz Bosco, which was a Salesian camp run in Australia for the Australian youth, and they've carried on that legacy. And as we speak, the camp's going on in Massey.
Oh,
so yeah, it's great to see that the groundwork, you know, the Holy Spirit drove you to come to New Zealand back in 2002, and the seeds you sowed for the Salesians are bearing its fruit nowadays.
As St. Paul says, one plants, the other waters, and it grows.
And it grows. And it has grown. We're going to go into another song now. Baptist, I think, do you want to introduce the song that's coming up for us?
The song is Jai Jin, and sung by Young Chaco.
Reșin gelea Taci maldi sau portele Sau de vaci coșimun Besau astele S-o dați multe aragan Gelele închenați dorocna Un s-o dați cui mogan Banlele închenați morocna E gobai lici cori cobor Au port sangona Sobe mazaru picota, lipon dorina. Sou tiro amo de cerona, ma
tun sai fuga un satu e pauti porot gor kan pauta oi pona cha besa e pauti pun chedo zau disra te wakti kori rosa chedo munche cara to di otto so mai pai dirada dotoran baile to pasun poya ki te sangle chedun zol moche asa mun tika goli kele e pauti chedun sata mun taka ki te zai pogle baba ka shetali mai pai jatonan polle ale motos doctor baile un gorka rakpur bindita baba tum kanzol mola usha kain ta ka sangta paisao che asle baba zalo mun mai pai kushin botta satwen chiru zata mun tani eka meka tu konkna e boshanu i kor pachin vachit na mona ta rukna Bavartan magot raulin de vaciru ishin coruncana Mag bavartan, bavartan, mag telean eu sanina
Welcome back to Planet FM 104.6. Today on Shisegad Danpar, on this beautiful chill afternoon, I'm joined with Father Rafael and we're discussing the three, we're talking about religion, faith and about family. And we're honored to hear about Father Rafael's story. And if you missed us, we were discussing how in 2002, Father Rafael took the leap of faith and came to New Zealand on a visit, wish to see his sister. He fell in love with the country and now, 15 years later?
Home for me now.
15 years later, he calls it home. So, Father, tell us, in your time in New Zealand, what have you been doing in New Zealand?
Oh, I've been 5 years in a parish at St. Joseph's, and then now I have done 8 years at, sorry, 7 years at Pakuranga, St. Mark's, yep. And now I'm in East Coast Bay, St. John's.
Okay. And you've been serving as the parish priest.
As the parish priest.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, what does a parish priest do? What are your tasks on a regular day? What's your week like?
Nothing. He just sits down.
Just Sunday afternoon.
And rest of the day is the holiday.
Fantastic. If you guys, you know, I know a lot of...
I know a lot of the youth who are listening.
A lot of you guys are looking at future careers. I think the priesthood sounds like quite a nice career. You get
Absolutely.
5 days a week off.
Yes.
Shane,
5 days a week.
Your ex Don Bosco boy?
Yes, I am. One of the youngest Salesians in New Zealand. I'll keep that title. I remember that.
You may say Father Rafael is not busy. He's always busy. You ask him to come any time and he'll be there.
Relaxing's a full-time job.
Okay.
But yes, Father, so in all seriousness, you know, I think we're going to go into something a little more serious now, because here at Shisegad Danpar, we've always been about leaving our listeners with a message and challenging our thoughts. So, and all, you know, religion, it's such a sensitive topic. And for a lot of us in the Catholic community in New Zealand, it does mean a lot because it is a part of who we are and a part of our pride. At the same time, it's important to discuss issues rather than keeping it bottled up or keeping it inside. So the next segment of our show is going to go a bit deeper, but at the end of the day, it's about stimulating a healthy discussion with someone with your expertise who can both enlighten us and guide us on issues facing our church. Mm-hmm. So to start off, I've got a little spoken word piece by Jefferson Bethke, and it's titled Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus. So I'd encourage all of you guys to attentively listen to that, and then me and Father are going to have a bit of a discussion about that piece.
What if I told you Jesus came to abolish religion, What if I told you voting Republican really wasn't his mission? What if I told you Republican doesn't automatically mean Christian, and just because you call some people blind doesn't automatically give you vision? I mean, if religion is so great, why has it started so many wars? Why does it build huge churches but fails to feed the poor? Tell single moms God doesn't love them if they've ever had a divorce, but in the Old Testament, God actually calls religious people whores. Religion might preach grace, but another thing they practice, tend to ridicule God's people, they did it to John the Baptist. They can't fix their problems, and so they just mask it, not realizing religion's like spraying perfume on a casket. See, the problem with religion is it never gets to the core. It's just behavior modification, like a long list of chores. Like, let's dress up the outside, make it look nice and neat. But it's funny, that's what they used to do to mummies while the corpse rots underneath. Now, I ain't judging. I'm just saying, quit putting on a fake look. Because there's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook. I mean, in every other aspect of life, you know that logic's unworthy. It's like saying you play for the Lakers just because you bought a jersey. See, this was me too, but no one seemed to be on to me. Acting like a church kid while addicted to pornography. See, on Sunday I'd go to church, but Saturday getting faded, acting if I was simply created to just have sex and get wasted. See, I spent my whole life building this facade of neatness, but now that I know Jesus, I boast in my weakness. Because if grace is water, then the church should be an ocean. It's not a museum for good people, it's a hospital for the broken. Which means I don't have to hide my failure, I don't have to hide my sin. Because it doesn't depend on me, it depends on Him. See, because when I was God's enemy, and certainly not a fan, He looked down and said, I want that man. Which is why Jesus hated religion, and for it He called them fools. Don't you see so much better than just following some rules? Now let me clarify. I love the church, I love the Bible, and yes, I believe in sin. But if Jesus came to your church, would they actually let Him in? See, remember, He was called a glutton and a drunkard by religious men. But the Son of God never supports self-righteousness, not now, not then. Now back to the point, one thing is vital to mention. How Jesus and religion are on opposite spectrums. See, one's the work of God, but one's a man-made invention. See, one is the cure, but the other's the infection. See, because religion says do, Jesus says done. Religion says slave, Jesus says son. Religion puts you in bondage, while Jesus sets you free. Religion makes you blind, but Jesus makes you see. And that's why religion and Jesus are two different clans. Religion is man searching for God. Christianity is God searching for man. Which is why salvation is freely mine, and forgiveness is my own. Not based on my merits, but Jesus' obedience alone. Because He took the crown of thorns and the blood dripped down His face. He took what we all deserve. I guess that's why you call it grace. And while being murdered, He yelled, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Because when He was dangling on that cross, He was thinking of you. And He absorbed all your sin, and He buried it in the tomb, which is why I'm kneeling at the cross saying, come on, there's room. So for religion, no, I hate it. In fact, I literally resent it. Because when Jesus said, it is finished, I believe He meant it.
So yeah, that was quite a powerful spoken word piece.
Very, very powerful.
And it discusses a lot of important issues. And you know, when I was talking to a lot of my friends, there seemed to be a common theme, and that was that disparity between religion and all the jargon and that's Jesus. Associated with religion, and then that message of Jesus. So I'd love to hear what your thoughts on that piece were.
My thoughts on that piece. The last part was fantastic.
Yeah.
Even the whole piece, I would say, was good. But I can't remember the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I do remember the last one where he said Jesus forgave the person. And that was his tremendous message.
Yeah.
From the cross to be able to say, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. It's tremendous. Somebody who gives you pain. In our lives, we always get pain.
Yeah.
And it's not only our own pain that we have facing our own daily lives, but the pain that is handed down to us from generations. And if it's countries, unfortunately, it's even Christian countries that carry on receiving pain and passing that pain on. And our founder taught us not to transmit pain.
Yeah.
He said, forgive them. And it's a beautiful thing that all our youth of today also have, and we all have, is that we've got a method of how to not transmit pain to others by holding the hands of Christ on the cross and saying, Father, forgive anyone who has given me pain, and teach me by your example not to transmit this pain to anyone else.
I think, you know, when you're discussing that stuff, mm-hmm. and you brought out the thing about the youth, because the thing that I see with a lot of youth and a lot of my kids as well when I back at St. Mary's and stuff was, we all want to help, mm-hmm. but why do we, it's that whole thing of, do we have to put that label of Christianity on it? Because I think when you put that label of Christianity, there comes a lot of other issues with it. And so what's your message to those kids who are in that place where they want to do good, but they're ashamed of that Christianity because of all the negative connotations with saying, I am a Catholic or I am a Christian?
Catholic means universal. So you are a person who loves universally,
yeah.
like Christ. So you have to be another Christ. It's not your labels.
Yeah.
It is what you do, because the gospel of your life that you live is what others will read, not what you preach so much. Your example carries a lot. And we have St. Francis Xavier, the first hymn that you sang, a man who gave up everything because his friend, there were two friends, seven friends actually, but two of them were very influential with each other.
Yeah.
His friend Ignatius. Yep, two friends, they got together in the 1500s. And they met each other and they spoke to each other. One friend influencing the other, saying, what does it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? That started the Jesuit order.
Yeah.
And today they have become such powerful influences for good. So you do not need to have your friends. You are convinced of it, go ahead and do it. Be another Christ today. Yeah, don't worry about the title.
You know, like what we were talking about earlier as well, it's quite difficult for... I mean, no one, especially like in the modern church, in the past week, we've had a lot... There have been allegations against our cardinals. There's been a lot of drama happening in the Vatican and stuff. And I think... We're talking about culture over here. The fact that we have to face is, and that a lot of our Indian families, we shun it. We dismiss the fact that, you know, this all this stuff's going on in our churches. This is what's happening. And I think, you know, we need to start talking about in our families. So how do you propose, like, in your families to talk about it? Because growing up, and it goes back generations where parents... This is my observation. In an Indian family, it's not about respecting your elders, it's about accepting your elders. And there's a big difference between that, because respecting encourages a healthy debate. Accepting takes what they've said and you keep it. And there's where the problem is. You know, all these kids out there, we read the news, we know what's happening, but we want to talk about it with our parents. So what message do you have to your parents when it comes, when your kids want to talk to that? Because I know the last thing we want to have a healthy debate with our parents. But a lot of the times, and it goes back to what their parents taught them as well, it was, this is it, you know? No, don't ask those questions. Go to church. You know?
Just accept what you're saying.
Exactly.
Don't discuss, don't debate.
Yeah.
What is happening in the church, that's none of your business.
And I think, Uncle Paul, as a father, how have you come across these situations?
People will always... At least not, they'll bring up the bad part of the church openly instead of teach whatever the church is teaching, which is good. We should not listen to all this blindly and just don't forget about it. You must remember that they are all humans. They will always make, every human being will make a mistake, but they will come back to the church.
I think that was beautifully summarized in the video as well, when they said, and I know Father had a smirk on his face when he said, it's not a place for angels, but a hospital for the sick.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Along those lines.
Absolutely. It's not a club for the saints.
It's a hospital for the sick.
Yeah. For the broken, basically.
For the broken,
And he also said that Jesus and religion are on the two opposite ends. And it will always be a tussle between those two. So we have to live with it and try to
closing the gap as far as possible. That's what I think. I don't know, Father, if you want to add something on that one.
There's a movie that's going around town now. It's called Shack.
Okay.
And it gives a beautiful image of what forgiveness is all about, and how one learns to be non-judgmental when a person reaches wisdom. I don't want to spoil the story for you, but go and see it.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have a look.
Quite interesting. Seems very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're going to go into a quick hymn. This hymn's a lot about, you know, taking, it's a beautiful title, One Day at a Time, but it shows that in life we're going to have a lot of challenges. It shows that in life there's going to be those ups and downs. And I think for me, the reason I chose this hymn in today's hour is because it's a message to all my fellow youth that whatever challenges do come, take it one day at a time and take it with trusting the Lord. Welcome back to 104.6. Today on Suseka Dampa, we're talking about the big question, religion. And to join me, I have Father Rafael, who has been enlightening us throughout the course of the hour about his life story. And we've been discussing some hard-hitting facts about the challenges and a lot of the concerns of people in our church right now. So going back, we're going to do a bit of a Church 101 with Father Rafael, because a lot of the questions that I did get from our listeners were related to the most simplest things. So Father Rafael, I want to start off with, why do we go to church?
Do you like a party?
Yes.
So what do you have in a party?
Food.
Drinks.
And good conversation.
Music. Good conversation. Music.
Yeah. Dancing.
Yeah. Dancing.
You're forgetting dancing.
Yeah.
So that's what you have in a party. Yeah. What do you have in a mass?
You've got food, you've got drink.
You have drink, you have music.
Music.
And conversation.
You have conversation. You meet people afterwards.
And you can dance too.
So you're having a party every week. Just make it one.
But for some reason, this party has been dwindling in numbers.
It's formalized a bit, you know.
Yeah.
What happens is it's the quickest party we have. In a week, in an hour, you finish a party.
Yeah.
Whereas if you organize a party, it takes a long time.
Exactly.
So this is, we are trying to do it in an hour.
Yeah.
Yep. And at the same time, what we are doing is we are meeting our God at the, in this party. It's the most deepest thing that can ever happen. The shortest time for you to reach the source of your being. Yep. Where you realize God is with you and you are in God. There's no difference between the two. Yep. And then you realize that the other person has God too. And you take that out and you try and be a better person outside.
Yeah.
So that's where you get the source of your strength.
And then in terms of the mass itself at mm-hmm. church, it's broken down into, you know, certain bits. Can we have a bit of a crash course into the different parts of the mass and why we do certain practices in that 1 hour of mass every week?
Yeah, first we have a welcome. Someone comes and says, okay, fine, this is the day today. This is the celebrant who's coming in. Yep.
Yeah.
We start with that. Then you sing a song. It's a welcome song. It's supposed to be a joyous one. And then after that, we want to hear something about some inspiration. And then you go into the readings. And sorry, before that, we say we are sorry in case mm-hmm. we have hurt one another.
Yep. Forgiveness.
Forgiveness and all that. And then immediately we go into getting some inspiration. So we try to connect with Christ. He's our light, our way, the truth and the life. So we try to get an inspiration from him.
Yeah.
So that's what we get in our readings. After that, you have the offertory, where we come and bring our gifts. Bring a plate, it says. Bring a plate, so that's the plate. Instead yep. of everyone bringing a plate, it's already there. Yep.
Yep.
And then we say the prayer on that, and that becomes the body and blood of Christ. And this is what Jesus himself has given us.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing that he has given us, is that he becomes part of us and we become part of him in the joy of the Mass. Yep. And then we say a small prayer at the end, and then we depart. But that's what keeps our community together. It's however diverse we may be, we come together and live and worship together.
Yeah.
Yep. We cannot have it individually. God is not something we can just connect to directly.
Yeah.
It's not just a vertical dimension. Yep. We have to have a horizontal dimension too.
Yeah.
We cannot say we love God if we do not love our neighbor.
Exactly.
So that's what we do in this community, which is the Mass. It becomes boring sometimes because
yeah.
some people, we have a bit of tradition in it. That's about the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
We wear vestments which are like frocks at times.
Yeah.
But they are supposed to be looking like the vestments that Christ used.
Yeah.
So there are two things in this Mass. There is tradition. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there is scripture. So the tradition is that part of what we use.
Yeah.
We use a chalice, we use wine, we use the vestments of the thing. And we have, like anywhere else, we have traffic rules.
Yeah.
Getting on the road, you have traffic rules. Red, stop. You cannot say, okay, fine, now it's green. I'd like to stop when it's green and I want to go when it's green. So just as we are a large community, we have to have certain traffic rules. So those are the traffic rules that we have. If you overlook those, I mean, you are okay with those traffic rules, then the rest is beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know when, you did mention the boring part of it, and it's a concern that a lot of youth leaders have texted in, that a lot of our younger youth are finding that spiritual nourishment in other denominations, you know, churches that are a bit more upbeat. And what advice do you have them? How can we make our own Catholic Church more vibrant? And what message do you have to a lot of youth leaders who are losing a lot of their kids to other churches, or on the flip side, just losing their kids altogether to, they're dismissing the fact of like religion and pushing away God? What advice do you have for them?
They're searching. They're searching, and I hope they find God. That's what they're looking for. Wherever you look at, ultimately you have to come to the depth of yourself, because that's where God is.
Yeah.
And if at times things are boring, it's teaching you delayed gratification. Yep. So you learn that sometimes if you're going to be satisfied all the time, sometimes something is going to get you upset and
yeah.
and
yeah,
you lose your way.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, that's kind of the general concern, is that the Catholic Church has always evolved over time.
Yes.
And, I mean, and do you think there's something that we can do practically to evolve the Church to make it more appealing to the young people? Because, you know, if we look at statistical figures and stuff, people aren't that numbers on the church roll and censuses are declining. How do we make it more appealing? What can we do, like, today in 2017 and going on in the future to move forward and actually say, hey, what can we do to bring our people back?
It's an eternal question of all parents. They always say,
yeah,
where are my children? Where have I gone wrong? It's not that they have gone wrong. Today's world is full of distractions. So somehow you have to find the center of yourself.
Yeah.
And you keep searching. And we pray that they find this particular center that will keep them anchored in God, not in a church, but in God.
Hmm.
So that's what we pray.
But just on this, Father, yep, have you noticed recently that more young people and more people are coming to church? Has there been such a...
Yes, since the migrants have come in, there are a lot of migrants that are bringing the numbers up.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'd hope that there is more, not just church numbers, but there is more people who are committed to God and who find God within themselves to care for one another. And God does not become the point of all that's happening in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
So we try not to become fanatical.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we find God that is able not to pass on pain to anyone else. The God that will teach us to dissolve pain, both what we receive pain from others and what we have inherited.
And just one kind of last question, because it's kind of resonated among a lot of people. And a lot of these people, because I know the person who sent that question as well. Do you have to go to church to live a good Catholic life, a good Christian life?
There are two things here. One is law, and one is being a good Christian. How do you define good Christian? So I would ask that person, how does he define a good Christian?
Yeah. If this person is, he's the kind of person that when you go out clubbing with him,
yeah,
if he sees a homeless person on the street,
yeah,
and you, okay, Auckland club lines are massive.
Yeah.
He will go to the nearest Burger King,
yeah,
buy him a burger, and go there. He's the kind of person that, regardless if we come home at 5 o'clock in the morning, at 9 o'clock, he's always at Auckland City Mission helping people. And that's
exactly what Christ did.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's, when I said it's resonated amongst a lot of youth, it's because that's where a lot of youth are heading to nowadays. It's that whole fit for mission thing that's going on in our church. Is,
yep,
we want to be practical.
Yep. Go out, reach, touch others' lives. That's being Christ today.
So, Father, what Shane is trying to make a point here is going to church everything Christianity, or doing what this boy is doing, helping the people, helping poor people, helping neighbors, or being good to neighbors? This is what Christianity is all about, or going to church is a must? That's what the question is about.
Both are needed, because one is a traffic rule.
Yep.
Because it's if you belong to something, you have certain traffic rules, and so that's obligation.
Yep.
Yep. And another thing is being that person, being Christ. You go to church is not just to fill in and tick off your name,
mm-hmm,
but you're going there to be part of a community, to celebrate love. Yes, and you learn there how to tolerate another person. The person sitting next to you may have bad breath, and you're sitting next to him, and you learn not to get irritated with that person.
Yeah.
Yep, you learned how to understand others. And then you take that same understanding and share it with others. So that's the anchor of it. The community is your anchor.
Thank you so much, Father. And I know we are cut for time, and hopefully in the future we can bring you back and discuss this a lot more. But I'd like to end with one more thing for all our listeners. I know a lot of them are preparing to go to church tonight, or they're going to think. So I just want you to have the last word and just a message to all our listeners today from yourself.
You know what? In Goa, right now it's the monsoons. And just before the monsoons, yeah, you have what's called fireflies. You know, you get a certain fly. It's the ants that get wings and then they fly up.
Fly up.
Yep, and they always head for the light.
Light, yeah.
Yep. They always head for the light. And we get irritated with them because sometimes they come and get into our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth.
Yeah.
So what we do is we put a bowl of water underneath. And these ants have become flying ants now, they rush for the light. And instead of hitting for the real light, they head to the reflected light in the bowl.
Yeah.
And they get drowned.
Yes.
So my message is to all the youth is, follow Christ the light. And you will never get lost in your way. It's a message coming from our own country, from our own land.
Fantastic, fantastic. Don't go to the reflection. Yes. Go to the main light.
The main light.
Main light, yes. That's the message.
Yeah. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in on 104.6. Stay tuned. Next week, we have an exciting show discussing travel, and I'm sure we'll discuss that more. Stay tuned on our Facebook page for updates. And if you missed today's show, you can always get it on the Planet FM website. For more details, don't give the good guys a call, and we can help you out.
And for all updates, go on to www.planetorg.co.nz. You can listen to our recorded programs. And thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you very much. We're honored that you have come to our program. Paul, thank you so much. Hector, as usual, he has been there always. And Shane, thank you for anchoring the program. It has been a real great pleasure to be on the show. Thank you so much, and goodbye.
Thank you.
Scolani, cori, gorsani, vismit poi lave. Gesun di lisap, amin purun pap, tonda galta moe. Sutte tia di sa, tewa mukari, moe in karung zai, tatten di vit muncia. Cintle arkit lendaru, papa ce ma portai patan tu di saru. Bali pong sotai, angar sat murung marung. Juo astana papa ceri liye kobar sai na burung. Son tuji, dusri atai ruza. Un soglia mukar, iburcin bankar, olden kurtai rosa. Dewa maka pau, etu jeso bau, jesu kurta fuga. Kili limpa gambok son ki gurjek, saide di tai ozar. Azar riza un mucha, papi jibi satai. Dolan jirpa. Ni gurjin tu mini saun kum nyaun di tai kum nyaun di upak tu kakalis koshe moza tagai. Maria Magdalena Tia lia lujin tuen ni kurjin Omniau di un favona O kota tuka te tuje atin Kumiau di un kravona Te wati tu ista Se va kurum tintai sur Kum sarza un papi di vitar Tungal visu Olia bukri jarupa Samre ulun bonshito, juo astaran kasla gon angat infen poito loiko.